This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. Most kids count cleaning a messy bedroom as a major accomplishment. But when she was just 15, Lynn Cox swam the English Channel in record time. Over the years, she conquered other challenges, most famously a solo swim of the Bering Strait in 1987. Now she has a new book out, Swimming to Antarctica. By a stretch of California ocean where she used to train, Lynn Cox took a beach walk with Day-to-Day literary editor Karen Grigsby Bates and explained to Karen why the ocean holds such allure for her.
When you first step into the water, you feel an immediate release from Earth, as if you're suddenly buoyant and free, that the weight of the world is no longer on you. I think also the idea of swimming without any black line underneath or any walls to cling onto, just having almost like a canvas before you that's not covered with anything. You just get to go your own way. There's so many restrictions in life nowadays, and here it's just wide open.
You eventually decided to tackle the Bering Strait, a huge, cold, cold, cold chunk of water. Why did you target that, and how long did it take you to work your way up to it?
I targeted the Bering Strait because I was trying to show that the Soviet Union and the United States were only 2.7 miles apart, that we were neighbors in the world. And the idea was that I would try to swim across the Bering Strait as a way to open the border for the first time between the United States and the Soviet Union. It took 11 years and writing to four Soviet premiers when finally Gorbachev gave permission to do the swim. There were things that made it symbolically really significant. The idea that when you cross the border between the United States and now Russia, the distance there is only like 1.5 miles. But more than that, you cross the international date line. And so you're reaching from the present into the future. The other thing was, when I started trying to do the swim, it was the height of the Cold War. And I thought, in a way, it's really poetic to try to swim extremely cold waters as a way to sort of break the ice between the two countries.
You did this swim, which took tremendous psychological and physical reserves, and you pushed through the end. So you get from the United States onto the Russian shore. What happened when you got there?
When I reached the Soviet shores, there were people from all over the Soviet Union who had been helicoptered onto the island to greet me. A Russian doctor who was an expert in cold research, somebody from the KGB, the governor of Siberia, and about 50 people who came as representatives from all over the country, as well as a whole entourage of journalists. And it was extremely exciting to touch shore because no one had done the swim, and it basically opened the border for the first time in 48 years. And it showed that, you know, people do believe in that human spirit and that human reach. And I was really trying to do that through the swim. Actually, I think it was about 3 months later when President Reagan and Gorbachev were signing the INF missile treaty. Gorbachev stood up and made a toast and mentioned the swim, that it showed how close to each other the two countries are and how the two countries' relationships were improving. And this swim symbolized that improvement in relations.
So you ended up being mentioned at a White House state dinner in the middle of a toast between two former international enemies. How cool was that? How'd that make you feel?
I was ecstatic. I mean, it basically told me that the Russians understood.
So years after you did this historic, very cold water swim, you ended up writing a book about the experience. Why'd you decide to do the book?
Actually, I started writing the book my senior year of college. I always wanted to be able to talk about swimming across the English Channel. And I felt that there was something that was very spiritual as much as physical for doing long-distance swimming. And so I sort of wanted to, from very early on, explain that in a book. Explain that it's not at all like swimming in a pool. And then through the years, I kept trying to get the book published. It took 11 rewrites and 21 years, and finally Knopf picked up on it.
What do you want people who might be non-swimmers like me to get from this book?
My real hope, and the thing that's basically carried me through all these years to not give up on writing the book, is that I really want to talk about this book is about dreams. And I think that the swims are in many ways metaphors for the struggle that people go through to achieve their dreams. And so what I'm hoping is the stories and the people that you meet in the book will inspire them. And I think that that's really what it's about. I want people to see that there are possibilities and different ways of thinking and try new things.
Long-distance swimmer Lynn Cox is the author of Swimming to Antarctica, and that interview was by Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates. You can hear excerpts from their chat, more of their chat, by going to our website. That's npr.org.